Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is entrepreneur and businesswoman Lizbeth Calandrino. And Liz and I are going to discuss what business is going to be like after the pandemic. And I think, Liz, the fact that there's so many unknowns, you know, nothing is like predictable anymore. That's why I believe people are so stressed out. What do you think?
I think they're stressed out, and because you said it right, it's all about the unknown. We have no control over what's going to happen next, and that, you know, not having control is one of the things that causes a great deal of stress. So that really is one of the big issues.
Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, what do you see happening?
Well, let me talk a little bit about business, because we have business people out there. Now, you know, I come from the floor covering industry, and, you know, it really depends on what part of the world you're from or what part of the country, because there are some retailers who are doing fine and they have great business. And then, like where we are now, we're just getting ready to open up, you know, like what is it, Mohawk Valley, Finger Lakes, and the Southern Tier. Mm-hmm. So let me talk a little bit about business.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody thinks that if the customer that was in your business before the pandemic is not the same one that's coming back, the customer that's coming now is frightened, is untrusting, and is really concerned about their health. So as a business, you've really got to be paying attention to that. In other words, you've got to have all of these things in place that show the customer that you understand, you know, about the illness, you know how to take care of them, you know how to take care of your business so that it's clean and disinfected. And that's the part that businesses really have to be understanding about. And, you know, a lot of that depends on who the employees are. Like, I know all employees have been laid off, right? So can you take them all back? I think you have to be really careful about which employees you take back, because some aren't going to be very good at dealing with this. In other words, you need your employees to have a lot of patience, to be really concerned about other people, and they have to really pay attention to that. So that leads me into the next problem, which is how many people are you actually going to get? Let's say your business needs 100 people a day in order to make money. Well, it would appear that you're probably, right, only going to get 50 people a day, you know, with the social distancing and how long people can stay in your store, your business, whatever. So you're going to get half the customers. Well, are half the customers enough for you to stay in business? I just read an article on the Business Review about someone in Troy who owns a restaurant, and she's going to close.
And, I read, you know, that.
Yeah, did you read that? So she's going to close, which I think is really smart. You know, as a business at this point, before you open, you should be looking at your numbers and thinking, can I really do it with less customers? Listen, rent is not going to go down. Insurance isn't going to go down. Mm-hmm. And your phone isn't going to be less. So all of the business expenses you had before are still going to be there. And now you have less customers, right? So should you open? I mean, everybody's dying to be open, because they have a fantasy that it'll be just the same way that it was before, and it's not going to be that. So, you know, my thought is that there are a lot of businesses that should close. I mean, if you're going to have to go through 6 months, 8 months, of more stress, which is being really careful with people, making sure, you know, following all of the things that you have to do in order to prove you're safe, maybe you're better off closing. If you're a small business and, you know, you've been through all your money at this point, why not close for a year? You could close for a year, come back. You may not want to come back. So I think that's the most important thing for businesses right now. Not to hurry so much about opening, but to really look at some projections for your business and looking at some numbers. Can I really make it? I was listening to, I don't know, remember the barbershop, the guy who opened, where is he, in Tennessee? I think it was Tennessee. And he had people coming from all over. And he said it was so stressful. He got home and he said, you know, it hasn't gotten any better. You know, people don't come in with masks. He has to tell them to put masks on. Now his employees are getting nervous. I mean, imagine if you have to work. I was in the store the other day. I haven't really gone anywhere, but I walked into Lowe's. And I looked at all those people behind the counters and then looked at the people that were in line. I wouldn't want to wait on half of them. They were sneezing. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. It's frightening to have to go to work. So as a business person, I think you have a lot of things to think about. I tell you, if I was working in a store and I was working for you, Cynthia, the first time somebody sneezed on me, I wouldn't even wait to say goodbye. I'd be out the door, Cynthia. I wouldn't be waiting around, right?
Let me ask you this question. You and I both live in Albany, we're practically neighbors. And we've gone to coffee together. We've gone for lunch together. We've had dinner parties and stuff. Okay, throughout the United States, there's got to be, maybe it's hundreds of thousands, maybe it's millions of restaurants all over the country.
Right.
And the restaurants are not going to be the same once everything opens up. I remember hearing that, you know, there's going to be social distancing in restaurants and, you know, they have to fill a certain capacity to make ends meet. So if they don't make ends meet, then my guess is a lot of the waiters and waitresses will be left off. Laid off, I'm sorry. If you take one waiter or waitress from one restaurant and multiply that by the number of restaurants in this country that are displaced, you're talking a heck of a lot of people. Where are these people going to go once the economy reopens?
Well, interesting that you're saying that. I heard some statistics about New York City, and they interviewed several restaurant owners in New York. And they figure that half of the restaurants probably in New York will go out of business. And this one guy was talking about, he had two big, big restaurants. And he was contemplating, you know, should I open again? I mean, he still has the same issues he had before. He still has the same responsibilities, but now he said, you know, now I even have more responsibilities. I have to worry about my employees. You know, what happens if somebody sneezes? You know, what happens if I get a couple of customers that don't like each other, or like they notice somebody come in and they have to wear masks, right? How can you have dinner with a mask on, Cynthia?
Right.
I mean, what makes it fun to go to a restaurant? I mean, I personally, I'm not really interested at this point. It doesn't sound like fun, right? We go out for dinner because it's fun, Cynthia, right? It's fun.
Right.
We have nice food, a drink, and we laugh and we talk, and we don't feel like we have to leave. Now we're going to go to a restaurant.
Right.
We're going to be worrying about who's 6 foot over from us, and What's even worse, suppose we know that person and we see them and we think that they're not being safe. And all we want to do is get out of here. So I think that business owners are going to have to deal with, I mean, customer service is my thing, right? So it's like this is the ultimate in customer service. It's managing the customer experience during this terrible time and trying to figure out how you can really be really nice to your customer. This is the time where you have to have a lot of empathy and you have to be kind to people. Forget about what you're trying to sell, because what people are really concerned about is whether or not your business is safe and they can be safe going in there. So managing that customer experience is more important than ever. I mean, we don't know what people's experience have been. We don't know if their homes are palaces or prisons at this point, you know. Right. I'm just so glad I have a backyard that I can go out in. It's really nice. But the new definition of customer service is safety. That's what the customer is concerned about, right? Whether or not they feel safe, and they're going to be watching. They're going to be watching to see what your employees are doing. They're going to look to see if there's a tissue on the floor. They're going to be, you know, how can I go to the bathroom? I got to touch the, I have to touch the knob to get into the bathroom.
Right?
I mean, there's a lot of new things out there that are like electrostatic sprays on high-tech air purifiers and everything touchless. So these are the things that you have to consider opening the business. Again, I know people are, you know, they want to have their businesses back. I understand that. I mean, that's what you've done your whole life. But you really need to look and think about whether or not it's the right thing to do.
Okay, the other question that I've got is, with so many people placed by this pandemic who find themselves unemployed, if there's too many unemployed people, they might not have the disposable income to go to the stores and buy stuff. That's going to be a problem, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but we don't talk about that. That's what's so interesting. You know, nobody's talking about that we have almost, what is it, 16, what is it, almost, I forgot how many, is it 18,000? How many people that we have are unemployed? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was watching the mayor. I was watching Sheehan this morning, and they were talking about the people that are, you know, are still need food, and they can't buy the things that they need. And then there's an interesting article today in the Business Review about people who are on unemployment that don't want to go back to work. They don't want to go back to work. Well, they're getting a decent amount every week. And they don't want to go back. Well, I mean, the thing is that they don't want it. Maybe they just don't want to go back because it's scary. So now they've got a problem. So you're an employer. You've got somebody who doesn't want to come back to work. You're paying for their health insurance. So now what? We have to fire them, right? Now you have to fire them. And so that now they won't have health insurance. Mm-hmm. So now we have that issue too. People unemployed. No health insurance, and okay, so they're getting a little bit extra money. They talk about it like, you know, it's a big deal that's going to go on forever. Okay, so we're getting a little bit extra money. Good thing we're getting a little bit extra money, because if we people weren't getting at least a decent amount of money, can you imagine what would be going on in this country? You know, it would be they're rioting anyway because they can't get their hair cut. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? So you're right, Cynthia. There'll be a lot of people who can't afford to go out. I mean, we're looking at things like new trends, like telemedicine. You know, now the doctor doesn't want you to come in, right? Doesn't want to get near you. And so I had to go in for blood tests, but now I'm not going to go back in again to see the doctor. She's going to have a telemedicine with me. She's going to have a telecall or whatever you call it with me. And so we're kind of getting used to not seeing a lot of people. The telemedicine, we're getting things delivered. We're not going places. I think it's going to take a while before people, I mean, even if you have money, why do you want to go to a restaurant and stand in line and have to worry about who's sitting 6 feet from you?
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. What I'm attempting to be is realistic. This is what's actually going on in the world. You've got to make some decisions. One, where you're going to spend your money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to spend the money I have? Maybe it is time for me to do something inside my house. Maybe I have a little extra money. Who was it? A friend of mine said the other day, customer came in and said, you know, I have $1,200 and I have been wanting to put new carpet in my downstairs for 30 years. And she said, now I can do it. Okay, so she obviously doesn't need that $1,200 to buy food. So she's going to spend it on her house. Well, that's good. I mean, there are the people that are going to want to do things, and then there are people that just don't want to. And again, it really depends on the state that you live in. There are some places where they've always been doing some kind of business. And if you can do business online, smart. It's a smart thing to do if you can do some kind of business online. You know, the other thing, you know, small business are talking about, you know, why is it that big box stores can be open, we can't be? And, you know, they have been deemed that they have to be open. Now, if it were me and I had a small business, you know what I'd be doing now? I would be trying to figure out what new products I could get in there that would make sure that if this happens again, or let's just say we open and we start getting lots more sick people, they're going to close it. They're not going to let us stay open, right?
Right.
So if it were me, I would be trying to figure out, is there a product or two that I can put in my store? I know my friend's in the vacuum cleaner business. He's open. He said, they say I need to stay open. So great. So, I mean, if I were in business, I would look at a couple of products. Maybe I need to make keys. I don't know. But I sure would be thinking about what makes me a business, needs to be open, and that if anything like this happens, I will stay open.
You know, I think you and I both use, you know, the internet. Okay. Imagine.
Right.
Imagine during the 1918 pandemic, there was no social media, there was no internet, you know, and more and more technology is going to be used, but there was no technology back then. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's online. And I was going to put up a video and thank everybody that, my friends, people that I really know and people that I know a lot better now of Facebook. Because, you know, I've asked questions and I said, you know, how do you get your unemployment? How do you do this, that, and the other thing? And there's always somebody there that can help you. And, you know, this is one of the things that we really do need to be grateful for. And people have been very helpful. People are concerned. I dropped some masks, so I have masks. So I dropped some off the other day to somebody who needed them. She sent me a note on Facebook. I said, I'll send them over. I'll bring them over to you. I'll drop them off at your house. And people are kind. And I think one thing we're going to find out is that we care a lot more about people. We have no choice. In other words, I'm really dependent upon you. You need to wear a mask. So that I don't get infected from you. And I need to take the same responsibility. So I believe that we're going to see hopefully a kinder society where we are worried about people.
But you know, if you put the news on, Liz, and you see all these demonstrations, you know, by people, we want the economy to open right now, and they get belligerent, and it's not a pretty picture. You know, you say people are kinder. They could be kinder to an extent, but at the same time, I think people, some people are meaner. What do you think?
I think you're right. And I think it comes from not really understanding that, you know, I have to get my hair. Did you see that? I saw on television, this lady on the side of her car said, I must have a massage. Now, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind getting a massage either, but I read that and I said, okay, so she needs a massage. The thing is, I don't think people understand what it means to open the business. Like, everybody thinks they should just open the business, I'll get my hair cut, and that business will be fine. No, the business is not going to be fine because there's only going to be half as many people coming in for haircuts. The business still has the same responsibilities, and you're out there picketing because you think if everybody opens up, it'll be perfect again. No, we certainly do have issues. People without food, people without jobs. I mean, kids that aren't in school, that parents, oh my gosh, I can't imagine what it would be like to have 3 kids and a dog and a cat and a husband with, you know, 5 rooms when you need 7. I mean, I think the best thing people can do is they need to call their friends. They need to call the employees that they've laid off. They need to get out there. They need to make a difference. You know, like you said, via social media, again, using the telephone. I mean, let's call people. Let's ask them how they're doing instead of sleeping all day. You know, sleeping all day. I think we're going to have a whole bunch of fat people when this is over. I mean, even me, I keep thinking about what am I going to eat? I haven't done anything all day long. But somehow eating is this important thing for me. You know, and maybe it's just because it gives me something to do.
You know, food is kind of like, it comforts you. And in this time of upheaval and distress, you know, we gravitate towards things that give us comfort. And one of those things is food. It's food, you know.
It is. Nothing's better than mashed potatoes. Actually, corn on the cob is my favorite. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Food certainly does make us feel better. And, you know, I'm wondering about another thing. I'm wondering if people will be more frugal after this. You know, we can't go anyplace. I was discussing this with my neighbor the other day, and we used to go out for lunch a lot because we both work from home. So, you know, lunchtime come around, and he said to me the other day, do you know how much money I've saved? I said, no, I do know how much money you save. And I said, maybe we should quit going out for lunch. Maybe we could have lunch at each other's houses because he cooks all the time. And, you know, he'll call me up and say, I have food for you. And, you know, maybe we will be more frugal at this point if we can be.
Right.
You know, where am I going? You know, do I really need to go out and shop for anything? Nobody's going to notice how I look because I'm going to have a mask on. Right, I'm going to have my mask on, so I'm not going to have my eyelashes. I think the eyelash business is going to take a real hit because, you know,
lipstick.
I don't know. I wear my lipstick all the time. I have that lipstick. It doesn't come off. I'm telling you, you have to use the scrub to get it off. So I put my lipstick on, I put my makeup on, and put my mask on. I don't know why, just in case, I guess. And I can't stand looking at myself without it. So, you know, I don't know. Unless you really needed some clothes before, I look in my closet and I think, oh, my gosh, I've been wearing clothes I haven't worn in years. I figure that's the best way. I'll wear them. If I like them, I'll keep them. Otherwise, I'll wash them. I'll bring them to the Goodwill.
So, you know, my biggest fantasy day for me would be would be to go to Macy's. I'd really love to go to Macy's.
Do you want to buy anything?
I mean, just to go in the store and just look at the makeup, look at the perfume, see what they have with clothes. And to me, that would be a nice day out. Because like you said, you have, you know, some people have money, but where can you spend it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, again, what's the point of spending it? There are so many things that you can't go to these days. You know,
right.
There's a lot of things that are closed, and I'm thinking, what will it be like for the summer? Will we be able to go swimming? You know,
right.
What can we do? So I think, again, we're no different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, as a business, you have to listen to what people are saying about their new life and how much they're going to spend. And you and your business need to take a good look at, what am I selling? Do I need more things? Are there things that I should put in my store that will give me more customers? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, am I prepared to take people's temperatures as they come in the door, you know, and clean 24 hours a day?
Right.
Because, you know, what am I going to do? It's so funny. I got a note this morning from U.S. government that said that I would be getting my stimulus check. Now, they sent me my stimulus check the end of April. And so I got a note today that said I would be getting it. Well, it just kind of shows me, I mean, come on, you know?
So, Liz, our time is up. So give yourself a little plug and kind of give an overview of what the foreseeable future looks like.
Well, let's see. You know, I've been a business consultant for a long time, and I just took a coaching class because I think that these days people are going to need people to help them figure out, what do I do next? And, you know, business is pretty simple. It's like one and one makes two, and you better make sure you make money. But making those decisions is tough, Cynthia. And so I took the class. I said, you know, I need to get better at this. So, you know, I'm here to help people make decisions, make changes in their business. Maybe it's changes in their lives, but I'm here to help them do that. And I think smarter. And that's one of the predictions I'm seeing, that people are going to realize that we have to get smarter. We have to be more nimble. We have to be quick, and we have to get smarter. We need to take classes, and we need to learn. Because it's obvious that, you know, we're in this predicament, and as much as we don't have control over things, there are things that we have control over, and we need people to help us do that. And I'm here for that, Cynthia.
So tell everybody who you are.
Who I am? Liz Calandrino, business consultant and a coach. I've been doing this for like 25 years. I live in the Capital District, Albany, New York. I write for the Albany Times Union. I have a blog there, and I'm available. I'm available by telephone if you want to talk with me, and I have also a podcast, and on WCAA 107.3, I am on the radio with you too, Cynthia.
Yes. So if anybody wants to contact you, how can they do so?
My last name is Calandrino, A-N-D-R-I-N-O, and my first name is Lisbeth. So, and there's not too many of us other than Lisbeth Salander that was in the lady with the, the tattoo, the dragon tattoo. It's L-I-S-B-E-T-H. So they can look me up, go to my website, get my phone number there, or send me an email.
Thank you. You've been listening to Lisbeth Calandrino. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire, and on Twitter, Women Inspire 21. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Bye.
Bye-bye.